Well, we're continuing to look at selected passages from the Old Testament, and this afternoon we're looking at Psalm 32. Now, I don't know how you find the Psalms, I find them very helpful, but I'm conscious too that often it seems there's different voices coming in different places in parts of the Psalm. Some ways God's talking to David, sometimes David talking to someone else, and the sort of, so I've split it up this afternoon. I was hoping for a full church, I'd do a third, a third, a third. I don't think I'm going to do that somehow, but still, here we go. The first part, if I could have the first one up, please. I'd like all the ladies to read the priestly voice together, because it's good when we speak out the voice, the word of God together. Let's ladies. Okay, blessed.
Blessed is he whose transgressions are healed, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit.
Now the next part sounds very much like David's confession. So we could have all the men doing David's voice. That'd be good. Men, together.
When I kept silent, my moments wasted away through all my groaning all day long. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer.
Then, men, together. Then I acknowledge my sin.
Did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
And continue, men.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the waters rise,
they will not reach him. Right, now we have the priestly voices again for the ladies. Whoops, wrong one. Where did that come from? Sorry? I know. You're in my hiding place. Sorry. Yes, sorry, men, continue. I'm on the wrong page here. Come on, men, gentlemen, together. You are my hiding place.
You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
I know the voice of God. We'll all say this together.
I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you.
Now the ladies, many
are the words of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man.
Continue.
Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
It's quite a psalm, isn't it? There's a lot in it, and I want to pick out one or two things about it. I remember when after being born again, which is a few years after I gave my life to Jesus, I was challenged by God to read the whole of the Bible, which I thought was a task that was unfair. Nevertheless, he said, you've got to read it from cover to cover. So I started with Matthew's Gospel, worked through the New Testament, then went back and started on Genesis and throughout the whole of the Old Testament. My family and friends, some of whom are Christian, were actually taking bets on to whether or not I would actually complete the course, when I'd read the whole lot. It's interesting that as I did start this, the Lord gave me a real push and enjoyment to read his word. And it really thrilled me. And people said, you never get up early, because I had to get up early to do it before I went to work. And I started off getting a quarter of an hour early, then a half an hour, in the end an hour earlier, because I just wanted to read God's word more each day. And if you never do that, I would encourage you to do that. I learned so much from that. And it wasn't a burden, it was a joy. And I'm just amazed how the Lord works, because he knew I liked laying in bed. But he woke me up morning after morning, without an alarm clock, to get down and read his word. And I was thrilled to bits to do that. And I was amazed at the consistency of God's message throughout the whole Bible. That really shook me. I thought, there's going to be a huge change in God's heart between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there wasn't. You see the same pattern. It's like a rainbow over the whole Bible of God's heart being totally consistent. I expected to find the Old Testament boring. Wrong. I actually enjoyed reading it. I found it very encouraging to read that. In college when I was training, I discovered that More than half of the New Testament is, in fact, Old Testament writings anyway. I found it even more amazing how many ministers and pastors and clergy chose not to preach from the Old Testament. They looked on it as being irrelevant to the church today, which I totally stand against. Back to the psalm. It's interesting that it begins with confession, with sin, with guilt, and forgiveness. The psalm, if you look at it, I don't know what it's got in your Bible, in mine it's entitled Mashil, M-A-S-C-H-I-L. A few commentators think that's the tune to which it's got to be sung, but to others it's seen as a word meaning the giving of instructions. And I think that'd be a very good title for this particular psalm, the giving of instructions. The psalm itself is about spiritual blessings, blessings that lead to true happiness. And what stops us having true happiness in life? One word, I think, sin. And what is sin? Well, it's a burden, I think, whichever way you look at it. It's a heavy load. I come across many Christians for whom being a Christian is just that, a heavy load. And often the reason is they haven't actually come before God and confessed and repented of the things that are wrong and actually trusted him for each day. They trust on other things in life other than God. And that makes life very hard for them. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. Forgiven sins that the Lord no longer counts against you. It's interesting in Scripture just how what God says about that too. That when we confess and repent of our sins, he sets them away from us as far as the east is from the west. And elsewhere that our sins will be remembered no more. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
It's brilliant news. We are warned here though not to be deceitful, or to lie to God, or pretend. The psalm reminds us not to try to hide our sinfulness from God. When we decide not to confess our sins, I think there's always a price to pay. And guilt becomes a very heavy burden for us to bear. Because with it comes guilt and shame and all sorts of other things. We need to remind ourselves that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for our sins. He died for all that went with it, with guilt, with shame. Because once our sins are forgiven, we should no longer have guilt or shame or sorrow in our lives. Jesus died to set us free from all of that. And sometimes it takes a little while for that message to get into our minds. As the song says, Jesus died to make us good. And that's true in every sense. And in this psalm, David's so honest with God. He said, my strength was sapped. We'd say today he's probably worn out, totally shattered. He obviously didn't sleep well at night either. He was conscious of the unforgiven sins. He was totally worn out, a heavy load. And when you think of David's life, you shouldn't find that too surprising. So often David is held up as sort of the best thing ever since Jesus, if you know what I mean, with everything perfect in his life. We tend to forget that he was a murderer, that he committed adultery, and a few other things as well. Yet he knew what it was to be forgiven by God. And it wasn't until he got that out of his system that actually he could have joy in his life. He needed to receive that forgiveness from the Lord. So for him, he was carrying a heavy load. And it's a really good message for us. Because confession and repentance, as I understand it, opens the door of heaven for us. As elsewhere, we've read in Scripture, there's a narrow way and a broad way to go to heaven. In the narrow way, we can't take all our earthly rubbish with us. We cannot take our treasures, our earthly possessions, our money. We can't do that. And it's sad that we should ever want to, because we're promised in the Scriptures that what God has prepared for us is so much better than what we have here. What we have here is only a shadow of what he has prepared for us when we give our lives to him. So we need to leave all that baggage, all that rubbish behind. Hold on to the words of Scripture. God has dealt with our position in life, our earthly wealth, and all our rubbish. And if you forget that, there's two old Scottish proverbs you might like to take home with you. One is this, a man was speaking to a man who was dying, and he was complaining that he got all this money, and he wanted to take it with him. And this proverb goes, you cannot take it with thee. You cannot take it with you. Yet so often we want to cling on to things and take them with us. And God says, I've got something so much better. prepared for you in heaven. And the other saying that is still the Scottish one, there's no pockets in a shroud, laddie, which I'm sure you've heard before. You can't take it with you. It's very true, isn't it? It's important, I think, that we receive these words of Scripture for ourselves. I'm going to read a few verses from Scripture that really speak to me, and I pray they speak to you too. Isaiah 53, verse 6. God laid upon him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all, and made him sin for us. We really need to pray that and believe it. I know for preachers and for congregations, it's easy just to hear the words and just let them sort of float above the head and not actually go anywhere at all. We need to receive these words of life into our hearts and into our lives. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's how God wants to see you and me, as his righteousness. Elsewhere in Scripture, we're told to put on Christ, so that when God looks on us, he sees us as Christ in a very real sense, totally free from sin, because our sin's been dealt with by Jesus on the cross. And God wants us to be that righteousness here on earth now. 1 John 1, 7, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. All sin. Sadly today in so many Christian churches, we see a hierarchy of sin, that some sins are worse than others. Some sins can be forgiven and others can't. It's not what the Bible says. It's such a dangerous thing, position to take, to try and justify some sins, say, well, I'm sure God doesn't worry about that. And others, oh, that's terrible, we ought to stone the person. We need to take that and understand it. Those words in the psalm, it says this, in whose spirit is no deceit. It's no good saying sorry to God and not meaning it. God is not mocked. That comes in the scriptures as well. God is not mocked. John 1, 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we sin and think that God doesn't know what we're doing or see what we're doing, we're being crazy, really. Think about what God has done, what he's created, that he knows actually what you're thinking now at this very minute. So if we think we can sin and God doesn't know, we're really being stupid. We deceive ourselves, which is one of the good reasons for confession. It shouldn't be hard to confess, because we're confessing to God something that he already knows. And yet we struggle with that, don't we, sometimes? But it should make it so much easier for us to confess if we can hold that in our minds. And to know, too, that as we confess and repent, God wants to forgive you. Forgive me. Forgive us. God doesn't want us to wallow about in sin and shame and sorrow. That's not his will for your life. That's not his will at all. Matthew 11, 28. Again, the words of Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you believe that? When you're feeling bowed down with problems or guilt or shame or what, why not go to Jesus? He says, if you do that, I will give you rest. And that's what we want, isn't it, when we're in trouble? We want the rest of God. I'm sure, too, you remember the story of the prodigal son. Went off, blew all the money, did all the wrong things in life that he could ever do, and came home. What did his father do? He ran to meet him. There's a picture that we can take for ourselves too when we confess our sins. God runs to meet us. He's delighted. He's overjoyed. He wants to celebrate. I'm not sure it comes in the scriptures, but I always believe that angels in heaven do cartwheels through the heavens when a sinner confesses and repents of sin. God the Father comes to meet us at that point when we bring our sins before him. The Father said this in Luke's Gospel, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. Celebrate. And that's true for you and me. When we're living in sin, we are dead to God in a very real sense. But when we confess our sins, repent of our sins, and receive God's forgiveness, then we are truly alive. Then we can truly celebrate. Without God, we are dead. Let's be honest. With God, we are alive. We come clean with God. And what does he do? He blesses us. He pours out his blessings upon us. I wonder if that's you. Is that how you're feeling now? Because you're actually clean and clear before God, sin-free, that God's just pouring out his blessings upon you. I think it's a lovely picture. I love it. Pouring out his spirit, his joy, his love. I always sense I feel a great sense of celebration when I see that too. But there's really a celebration in heaven when we come clean before God. The fact of shower also is very significant, isn't it? Symbolic, being washed and cleansed and made free. Because of what he's received from God, a psalmist reminds us to pray. I think here David's referring specifically to keeping short accounts with God. So often we come to God and we get repented and cleansed and forgiven. Then we sort of drift and we sort of slightly move away a bit. If we keep daily prayers in that part of our life, we won't do that. It's what the psalmist is reminding us here, to pray. And having received God's forgiveness, don't go back into your old ways. If the root is bad, don't go there. How often we see this picture. She hurt me, so we end up wounded. I can't forgive her. Then we're entering into bondage. I'm so angry and bitter. We open up our lives to the devil there, really. It's wrong to feel like this, and then we feel guilty. And ugh. If the root is bad, don't go for it. Don't go back into old ways, ways in which you've been set free. God has made us new. We are a new creation in him. That's why we need to pray. Because the devil loves to take us back into old sins. Oh, you were very rude to that person there, you're angry now, or you said you hated that person. We do it so easily in everyday life, because that's how the world behaves. That is the action of the world. God called you and I to be different. Totally different. The psalm finishes with some words from God. I will instruct you. I will watch over you. Stop kicking against the stones. Stop fighting. I wonder if there's a battle going on in your life when God's directing you into one way. You think, oh, I don't want to do that. Not going there. God says, don't kick against the stones. Often we hear God guiding us or reminding us, and yet we still choose to go our own way. That is not God's will for you in your life. He wants us to go down that narrow way that leads to heaven, not taking the rubbish with us of sin and guilt and shame. The psalm ends with the instruction to rejoice. Why rejoice? Because God is King and Lord of all, that's why. And he loves you, and he sent Jesus to die for you. That's why we rejoice. And we can receive all God's goodness when we confess and repent of our sins. And if we find it hard to celebrate, if we find it hard to celebrate God's love and God's goodness, is it because we're holding on to something which we shouldn't be holding on to? Is there some sin or guilt or shame in our life that we don't want to let go? Something we like doing which we know is wrong? God wants us to be free to celebrate his goodness, to celebrate his love, his joy. And I think God's today challenges, are we being honest with him? It's quite a challenge sometimes. Are we being honest with God in our conversations with him? God wants us to be open-hearted and clean and clear. Clear like crystal, so they can see right through us. In the Bible, we are told that faith comes through hearing. And I think it's good that we read the Bible out loud. And that psalm you've already read out once is a modern rendering of it. The man who knows the meaning of forgiveness, whose past failures no longer plagued him, who stands blameless and guilt-free before God, that man is rich indeed. Every time I attempt to handle my own guilt by ignoring it, rationalizing it, or just running away from it, some unseen power and pressure from the depths of my inner being squeezes my life dry, leaving me empty. But when I face up to my failures and confess them, when I open up my guilt-ridden heart to you, O God, then I realize the blessed meaning of forgiveness. Thus, everyone who claims faith in a loving God needs to cling to God's acceptance and concern. Times of darkness will come. Life storms and tempests will continue to rage. But he shall not be destroyed by these things. You are, O God, a place of refuge. You do enable me to face my problems. You do keep me from being destroyed by them. Even when there's the darkness about us, in the midst of life's turmoil, one can often hear the voice of God. It's good that, isn't it? There's such an honesty in the way that David writes that I love. He doesn't say everything's going to be fine when you give your life and come to him before God. Everything's going to be rose. He doesn't say that. He says there will be times of trouble. There will be times where we're really struggling. But in the midst of all that, God's voice can still be heard. And we need to hear it in those times. I'm going to close, actually, by reading that psalm again. If we can do the same as we did last time, and really take the words to heart. It's easy to, I can read, actually, without taking things in. I don't know if you can, but I can. I can read books, and people say, what have you read? And I thought, I don't know. But I've been reading it. And it's so easy we can do this with words of scripture. So do you remember what you did last time? We're going to do it again. All right, ladies, you kick off.
Bless you.
Right, men.
When I kept silent, my bones wasted away, crawled like groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy on me.
My strength was sapped in the heat of summer.
Continue. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of all my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found.
Surely when the waters rise, they will not reach you.
You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. All together. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye. Do not be like horse or mule,
which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you.
The ladies?
Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad for the righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
That's what we're going to do now. Sing from our hearts to the Lord.
Thank you. I was remembering something the Lord showed me years ago. I was quite a new Christian, and then Francis mentioned clear as crystal. And it was, the Lord showed me I was just like a pane of glass to him. He could see right through me. And there was nothing I could hide from him. And I found that immensely helpful all through my Christian life. I didn't, that I knew very well if I wanted to hide anything, it was no good.
That picture of crystal is a lovely one. It's one of my favorite ones, actually. In the book of Revelation, we see the Lamb on the throne, and around him a sea of crystal. I always think that's all the righteous people who have given their lives to the Lord. And they're all transparent and crystal clean because they're being cleansed by the blood of Christ. And around the throne you've got this huge sea of crystal, which is all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's a beautiful picture, a word of prophecy indeed.